Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio. On the Republic Broadcasting Network, which is the place you go for genuine freedom of speech. Remember, it's also the place you can go, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the donate button and send shekels. And also, you can go to nationalbugle.com and download the Co-Certified app, because Co-Certified is totally my sponsor. And if you don't download the app, it's only $2.99 for your Android phone. That helps. It helps you lead a kosher, non-kosher certified lifestyle. And I have a non-kosher certified guest today. That's Andrew Carrington Hitchcock. Andy, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Patrick. It's great to be joining you again.
Well, it's great to have you on. And last time we spoke on air, actually, I think Dr. Duke had something come up at the last minute. I filled in for him. And then when I... That was Tuesday, the 4th of June. I don't think I played that show on my National Bugle Radio show on RBN, but I did put it on my YouTube channel, and the next day my entire YouTube channel was deleted. Now, I know that that's just kind of a coincidence, although the other times I've had you on my show, I've been notified by YouTube, not that I have a strike against me, but that show would become unavailable in most European countries. So there you go. They're trying to keep us from... they're trying to keep our voices from being heard.
They are, and I mean, I've had situations with a few guests in the past where I've actually... They've emailed me and I've not received the emails. I've emailed them, they've not received the emails. And we've had to go through a mutual contact, like a third party. And I'd email the mutual contact, who'd then email the guest, who'd then email the mutual contact, who'd then email me. And I mean, I'm going back years when this was happening. And it was for innocuous guests. You know, Harry Cooper, for example, who is a regular on Jeff Rentz's show, sharkhunters.com, I believe, and it's a big organization that looks at World War II history, and they have members both from the German forces back then, the American forces, England, all around the world. And he just questions whether Hitler actually died in the bunker. He says that Hitler was drugged along with Eva Braun, and he was removed from Germany against his will and taken over to Argentina, where I believe he says he died in 1962. And so really, I wouldn't say that that's some... I don't understand why they were so desperate not to get that information out, but sometimes you have to look at patterns, and when they go for certain guests or certain things, you have to say, well, you know, maybe that is possible. It's not really something that I ever entertained, but Harry's absolutely adamant, and he's got many, many members of his organisation that are also, and he's doing regular trips abroad. He goes to, you know, places in Germany and all around the world to see this various history, to South America to show, you know, areas where Hitler was supposed to have lived and where National Socialism continued to flourish after the Second World War and different things like that. So it's not a new thing that they interfere with communications. Indeed, Theresa May said a few years ago when she was still Home Secretary that people like myself, she didn't name me by name, you know, if they can't get us by law, they'll disrupt us any way that they can. And you're well aware of the sort of disruptions that they will go to. And so there you have your own political leaders essentially saying that they're going to break the law if they can't use the law against you, Patrick.
Mm-hmm. So regarding the idea of Hitler having been taken off to Argentina, does your friend say that he was involved in some sort of breeding program while he was there? Because I have a friend who insists that Angela Merkel is Hitler's daughter, which to me, I mean, that sounds kind of ridiculous. I'm just bringing it up here just for a little bit of fun. But is that part of the same idea, or are those completely separate ideas?
I think it's completely separate. I mean, I've heard that story as well, but I would. It's not something that I subscribe to, because Angela Merkel, I suppose it depends how conspiratorial you want to get. I tend to subscribe to the opinion, and it wasn't what I always had. I mean, I heard the Schicklgruber story, you know, that Hitler was actually a secret Rothschild, and I put so much into it, I actually included it in the Synagogue of Satan, although in a subsequent edition I gave other information and wasn't sure about that story. Incidentally, Willis Carto of Liberty Lobby, Spotlight, American Free Press, the Barnes Review, you know, great patriot and media man, alternative media man, one of the leading lights out there, who passed away a few years ago. I've got a hand-typed letter, and when I say hand-typed, I mean it's from one of those old manual typewriters, so some of the letters are sort of not quite in line with the previous ones. It's a delightful letter that I had from him, that incidentally I had a photostat of that put in the current edition of the Synagogue of Satan, updated, expanded and uncensored, that you can get from the website thesynagogueofsatan.com that my publisher operates. And he wrote to Tex Mars to send on to me about the Synagogue of Satan. He loved the book, but the bit that he didn't like was the Schicklgruber story. And so the reason I mention that is for those people who believe that Hitler wasn't doing, you know, the best for the German people, which these days I would say probably was, when you see the way he turned that country around from the Weimar Germany time into, you know, the powerhouse it became that enabled it to have the wherewithal to conduct such a lengthy war against so many enemies. The people that would come up with the Angela Merkel story would say, well, you know, what did Hitler actually achieve? He destroyed Germany. He destroyed nationalism. And so that was his purpose, they would say. I would disagree. But then they would say, so Angela Merkel's merely taking it to another level by not just destroying nationalism, but destroying the race as a whole by promoting all this mass immigration and what have you. And so I can see how the strands would tie up, but they would be based upon an interpretation of history that I wouldn't necessarily agree with, Patrick.
Well, speaking of whether or not Hitler did the best for the German people, there was the owner of a American baseball team, I think her name was Phyllis Schott or something like that, and she owned the Cincinnati Reds baseball team. This must have been 20 years ago or maybe longer, 30 years ago, and she got in trouble for having said, well, everybody knows that Hitler was good at first. I think that was the term she used, that he was good at first. And this is kind of actually a question, because I don't know if the German trains weren't running on time the way the Italian ones were, but he did get a lot of things going. And I know there is a Jewish professor who wrote a book, not a very well-read book, not one that sold very well, but it was called the Fruits of Fascism, and he is a very, very Zionist Jew, and yet he had a certain amount of praise for Hitler's economic program, at least early on, and said that the post-World War II West German powerhouse was a result, really, of the groundwork that Hitler had laid. But then there's that whole question about whether, you know, whether or not he had any options going into World War II. And who knows? It's hard to relive history. On another show I do on the Stormfront Radio Show, we have on occasion we've had callers who, and we've had a debate over whether Hitler had better options. Where, you know, and the idea, I mean, sometimes, well, at least on one show we compared Hitler to Putin, and you know, some people have problems with Putin because there's still a relatively strong Jewish banking presence in Russia and a media presence. But on the other hand, here we are 20 years into Vladimir Putin's rule, and Russia, in a lot of ways, is doing better than any other white country in the world. Whereas 12 years into Hitler's rule, Germany was lying in ruins. And so, yeah, Hitler took a somewhat harder stand, but Vladimir Putin seems, at least at this point in history, seems to be winning. Do you have any thoughts about that, the Hitler versus Putin model, Hitler model versus Putin model?
Well, what it brought to mind was basically, I've got a friend of mine who's been on my show quite regularly, and that is Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson, and he's my go-to man for Russian history and all things Russian, if you like. He's a great academic, and he's a big supporter of Putin. And he recalls how he convinced both Willis Carto and Michael Collins Piper years ago that Putin was actually a good guy. And he sent me a graphic, and it's gone at the top. I'll send it to you. 15 years of Putin, how Russia changed in the 15 years since Putin came to power. 1999, GDP of $195 billion. In 2013, it was $2.113 billion. So, of course, it's gone up by 20-fold. Then the GDP per person was $1,320. It's in 2013, $14,800. Inflation in 1999 was 36.5%. In 2013, it was 6.5%. The national debt in 1999 was 78%. In 2013, it was 8%. The pension in 1999 was 499 rubles. In 2013, it was 10,000 rubles. And the income, finally, in 1999 was 1,522 rubles. And in 2013, it was 29,940 rubles. So if you look at it, he's kind of increased certainly the income and GDP and things like that 20-fold in a 15-year period. Now, my opinion...
It's not as if the Russian population has been exploding. I mean, sometimes you talk about African countries and their GDP is growing, but that's because their population's exploding. So that's people's lives getting better.
Yes, absolutely. And my view on this is that I would err on the side of Putin being a good guy. And the other thing that I would cite here is that there's Christian churches going up all the time in Russia. And another guest of mine, Dr. Peter Hammond, said the biggest resurgence of Christianity is in former communist countries, because, of course, communism is a godless society. You know, the state is the almighty ruler, and that's why they destroyed all these churches and what have you. And he believes that when people actually have experienced life without God and they know what it was like, that they now embrace Christianity again because they don't ever want to have a life without God, which I think is pretty... I don't know, I would say that that's a pretty accurate assessment of what's really going on. And the other thing I'd say with regard to Putin, people will say, well, he's got these people around him, he's got these Jewish elites here and Jewish elites there, and I've seen him photographing all these rabbis and stuff like that. Well, again, what's he supposed to do? I mean, there are people out there that unless you do to these people what these Jewish elites did to the Romanovs and... tens of millions of white Russians, white Christian Russians in the Bolshevik Revolution, they won't accept anything else. But of course, if he damaged a hair on certain people's heads, there'd be a worldwide outcry for some sort of action against him. So again, I think that he's walking a tightrope and he's just gradually slipping things in. But it's not going unnoticed because essentially... he's being targeted by the West. We've got all these bases being built everywhere in provocation of Russia. And what I think happened, Patrick, is that whilst we were focusing on 9/11 and, oh, we've got to get Afghanistan and we've got to get Iraq and we've got to get Syria, we've got to get Libya, we've got to go for Iran, we've got to destabilise Egypt and all these different things that they were up to, they took their eye off Russia. And in that time, Putin was able to re-energize Russia in a similar way that Hitler re-energized Germany. Because basically, they weren't looking at him. They were too busy looking at their own Ed Yinon plan for a greater Israel and using America to to target and demonise all these countries that got in the way of that plan for a greater Israel, whilst quietly in the background, Putin was rejuvenating Russia, and so now they're focusing on Putin again because he represents a strong... How would I put it? He's someone that they're now worried about because they thought Russia was destroyed. They thought, well, it's been destroyed, so we'll just leave that one alone. And then again, it pops up. So now he's an enemy again, the potential problem, Patrick.
He's, I think, a very unique opportunity for the world, for humanity. Russia had been destroyed. It was destroyed really post-Soviet. I think a lot of people tend to think that the Soviet Union collapsed, and I don't buy that it collapsed. I was in the Soviet Union in 1990 and 1991, both years, not continuously. In 1990, it was doing just fine. And in 1991... you could go to this. They weren't having shortages in stores. The store shelves were full, but they had just had that attempted coup d'état, the putsch. It was September of 1991, just 3 months before the Soviet Union was formally ended, and Gorbachev was being ridiculed. You know, he had been put in house arrest the previous month for a few days by his vice president and a few other underlings who thought he was going too far in a particular direction, and then he overcame the putsch with some assistance from the Russian Federation president Boris Yeltsin, who had, I think pretty wisely, had himself elected in a popular election. Gorbachev had put in a new constitution which called for an elected president, but the very first president was not to be elected through national elections but through a legislative election. And I think that was a mistake, because that way he didn't have that whole popular mandate, even though when he put through that constitution, I believe a year earlier, he was extremely popular. And he could have easily won it, but didn't want to slow down his reforms by a few months to allow for a presidential election. At any rate, the collapse of the economy over there came post-Soviet breakup, and it came under Yeltsin. And Yeltsin was such a disaster, and lasted as long as he did only because of massive American election meddling in the 1996 elections, which, according to current Russian Prime Minister Medvedev, actually had been won by the Communist Party, but they just cheated the Communist Party out of the election. It had been won by Gennady Zyuganov. And Putin, with the 2000 elections coming up and it being clear that they weren't going to be able to get lightning to strike twice, and Yeltsin was like so alcoholic, they needed somebody to save the system for the oligarchs, and they picked Putin, and Putin wound up turning the tables on them. And that's the way I see it. He turned the tables on them, and they'll never forgive him, but he could never have become president. I don't think he's got the means to get him to have gotten himself elected. He was an obscure, you know, bureaucrat, former intelligence officer who was plucked, maybe because he had, you know, the former intelligence ties and everything. I mean, I suppose that's why he was picked, but you know, there had been a series of failed prime ministers, and so then they tried him. He was young, and I think some of the things he did to get his to secure his position, perhaps launching false flag attacks. I'm not exactly sure. False flag attacks in Moscow and blaming it on Chechens and getting people to rally around the flag. I'm not exactly sure, but I want to hear your thoughts on that. As soon as we come back from the break. Oh.
folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an energy cleaner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an energy cleaner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
And we're back. So, Andy, just before going to the break, I posed the question whether Vladimir Putin could have ever possibly gotten elected on his own, somebody like him, because he came into office as basically a tool of Zionist oligarchs. What do you think of that?
Well, I think that your analysis is spot on. I think it's very important what you said about him being a former intelligence officer, because that's what people use against him, of course. You know, he's part of the old, you know, the old Stasi or whatever they want to call it. That was East Germany, wasn't it? But you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
But essentially, I think that he was picked because he was a safe pair of hands, but they didn't realise what he was going to do. And so, again, back then, why didn't he just go all out and let's execute all these oligarchs and blah, blah, blah? No, he didn't do it that way. Because he knew that if he did, you push too hard, too fast. And essentially, you could say that these people are guilty of treason because they looted all the Russians' property, all these electric companies and goodness knows what else. And then you have the likes of people like Roman Abramovich buying Chelsea Football Club. Now, he was a used car dealer initially. I mean, how do you go from that? And now, of course, he's moved over to Israel and all this sort of stuff. And so you have to look at Putin historically, and you have to look at anything historically. I mean, when I wrote The Synagogue of Satan, I naively thought, you know, this is going to change the world when people read this information. Well, definitely what we have seen a change in is when I put that out, people were talking about that, you know, the people who ran the world were the Illuminati and the New World Order. Well, you know, who exactly were these people? And I never thought it was some organized race or religion, whichever you want to call these people, because I thought that's just naive, you know, that's crazy. But what I did was I initially was going to research the Bilderberg Group, the Council on Foreign Relations, and the Rothschild family. I started with the Rothschild family, and I just found them popping up all over the place. Mm-hmm. And that's how the pieces fit together. And that left me with the book that essentially identified an elite group that aren't all Jewish, but certainly the upper echelons appear to be Jewish from, you know, the information. And since then, we have seen a sea change. And how often do you hear now people talk about the Illuminati or the New World Order? They don't. Some people call them the Jews. Some people call them the Jewish elite. But the back then, when people were saying the Illuminati and New World Order, who was getting closed down, Patrick? People weren't getting closed down back then. Mm-hmm. Okay? But it's only been since this group have started being identified that they've actually gone to the lengths of trying to pass laws like the International Definition of Anti-Semitism to say things that they admit to in their own publications are anti-Semitic if other people say that that's what they do. For example, their control of media. So we pretty much nailed it. Now people are waking up.
Yeah, so maybe it's kind of like the N-word. The black people in America get to use the N-word all the time, but if a white person says it, you get in trouble. And so, yeah, Jews can write and brag about Jewish control of Hollywood or the media or banking, like Joel Stein, and say, I don't care if people know, I just care that we get to keep on controlling it. It's okay for them to say it, but as soon as a non-Jew says anything, like Rick Sanchez, the former CNN anchor, who says, yeah, very powerless people. Yeah, right. Then he gets shut down the very next day, gets fired from CNN. So maybe it's kind of like that. I want to just go into a little bit the way the Jews got their money, got their position of oligarchy in the former Soviet Union, seeing as we're talking about it. And and of course you said that you know, in your investigation, you didn't find that the entire Illuminati or elite that was entirely Jewish, but there's a lot. And I think the point is that you have at least enough Jews and Zionist Jews, and by Zionist I mean basically it's not Zionism. By my definition, isn't all about Israel. It's about Jewish interests. It's, you know, to be Zionist, basically, a loose definition of Zionism for me is those who are motivated by what they perceive as being best for the Jewish group. That's kind of a loose definition. That's my working definition. Is that close enough for your tastes?
Yes, but don't forget, you can't say Zionism anymore, because Zionism is anti-Semitism, according to what we're being told now from, again, Jewish groups.
Yeah. So, in the immediate aftermath of the dismembering of the Soviet Union, I say the dismembering, not the collapse, because, like I say, I don't think it collapsed. I think it was dismembered. In Russia, they embarked on this rapid privatization, the shock therapy. And the shock therapy was introduced, the concept of shock therapy was introduced by a Jewish professor by the name of Jeffrey Sachs from Harvard. And it was at a time when, you know, the American Treasury Department had sent over a lot of advisors, including Lawrence Summers, who has been, and he later became Treasury Secretary and President of Harvard, and he's been involved in all sorts of horrible things, and I won't try to recapitulate everything, but Ron Unz on the Unz Review, Unz.com, recently had a very interesting article with a lot about Lawrence Summers. So if you go to the Unz Review and type in Lawrence Summers into the search engine, you'll probably find something pretty interesting from about early June, late May.
You
are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Lawrence Summers into the search engine, you'll probably find something pretty interesting from about early June, late May. So you had these American advisors, another one, Peter Orszag, who later became Obama's budget director, these Jewish advisors from America who were sent over, and of course you had lots of Jews in the former Soviet Union who had citizenship, Russian citizenship, and they were able to take advantage of this voucher program where everything was privatized and the population was given these vouchers that enabled them to purchase shares. Now, this was done at a time when the ruble was collapsing, when prices were going through the roof, when there were massive shortages and people and economic dislocation, even starvation, people freezing in the winters. And so many people were in desperate straits that they were willing to just sell off these vouchers to anybody who could give them, say, you know, some hard currency where they could actually buy things that they needed and who had access to hard currency. Well, who was given access were, you know, these young Jews, maybe used car salesmen like Abramovich, people who were considered to be good partners by the George Soroses and the other international Jewish financiers who wanted to get into Russia and needed partners with Russian citizenship. And so you had this whole oligarch class spring up that was mostly, not entirely, but mostly Jewish. And it was, you had American Jews like Summers and Sachs who were facilitating the contact. And of course, also remember that the Russian privatization minister, Anatoly, Chubais, Anatoly Chubais, was the privatization minister. He became a Jewish oligarch himself. So I just wanted to recap that history. And that's how it worked in the former Soviet Union. But I think it's kind of a model of ethnic networking that has worked all over wherever Jews are in large numbers. Whether you're talking about the Bilderbergers or any of the Council on Foreign Relations or any other group you want to mention, which isn't. It's not that Jews are that these are exclusively Jewish groups, but that with the ethnic networking, even as a minority in the elites, they're able to dominate because they have ethnic solidarity, and the other people, the other elites that they're dealing with, don't, are in fact prohibited from having ethnic solidarity, and so they may be. These other non-Jews and the elite may be allowed to share in the wealth, but they're not allowed to have any kind of solidarity that would threaten the Jewish domination. That's the way I view it. What do you think?
Well, yes, I think it's very interesting what you said. I think that certainly this history of the oligarchs, I actually had a book, I forget who it was by, it was called The Oligarchs, and I think there were six or seven of them, and only one of them wasn't ethnically Jewish. I think his surname was Potanin, P-O-T-A-N-I-N, mm-hmm. but all the others were. And then we have the likes of people like Boris Berezovsky, mm-hmm. and apparently he was targeted by evil Russians in the UK, and blah, 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 blah. And, this guy basically... asset strip Russia. So why are we defending him in the UK? I mean, it just goes to show that we are being controlled by the same people that these people are operating for.
Yeah, and you see in the United States in particular what a boogeyman Putin has become. I think it's really the diaspora Jews more than the Israeli Jews, because you see in Israel, of course, there are a lot of Jews from the Soviet Union in Israel, but it doesn't seem like Benjamin Netanyahu participates in the Putin bashing the way the American Jewish elite does. What do you think?
I think he plays both sides of the fence when it suits him. Mm-hmm. He wants to sort of keep all his options open. There's a lot of talk of America going down very shortly, and that's by design due to all the debt that America are in and things like that. And of course, when we went through the figures of Russia's economy, it's a hell of a lot healthier than any Western economy that I'm aware of. And so with that, with the what I've referred to as the Jewish genocide of the white race, with all the immigration and all the statements made by prominent Jews over the years of how they need immigration into white nations, and the likes of Barbara Lerner Spector admitting that Jews are behind it, and why, and we all need to be multiculturalized. It may be that we're going to see our destruction in our respective Western nations, and they're just getting ready, because it's not just... Russia that they're friends with, it's also the likes of India and China that they seem to get along with as well, Patrick.
Now, in your book, The Synagogue of Satan, do you make, and I apologize, I haven't read it, but I it's a very well-known book. Do you make predictions about the fall of Western civilization? Because, I don't know. Why don't you talk a little bit about your book? And does it make predictions, or is it purely prescriptive?
It doesn't really make predictions. I did
Descriptive
Robert Galen Ross.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Robert Galen Ross, he made a prediction that I believe I used, but I can't find it when I just looked in the index about, you know, the only countries without a Rothschild-controlled central bank were the likes of Iraq, Iran, Syria, North Korea. I believe there was another, but I think all that's left now is Iran and North Korea. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Libya, that's probably the other one. There was only about six of them, I remember that. And I remember thinking to myself, that's the only prediction I kind of made in the book. And of course, that has come true. And in order to have, it's like this question of world currency. I mean, are we going to have a one world government? We're going to have a one world currency. Well, essentially, the one world currency is already here. You know, if you're going to pay some money to someone in America, you basically, you find out what, you know, say you're on eBay, you're buying something and it's from America and it's $20. Well, you just go into your PayPal and you pay your $20 and it tells you how much that is in UK pounds. So the names of different currencies are just there in name only. I think the idea of a world currency, and so what does that mean? You know, say the world currency was called dollars. Well, we'd have to have a certain person on one side of the $10 note and another person on the other side. Who are they going to be when you're looking at you know, the nearly 200 countries that there are in the world? You know, how are you going to just pick two? And so I think that the world currency is already here. But I think also that what they're looking at doing is, whilst we have this situation going on with the destabilization of the world, I wasn't aware back at the time that I put the Synagogue of Satan together of this racial aspect, because we've had immigration into Western nations for years, for decades, for multiple decades, but it's only recently really ramped up and it's really come to the fore, the likes of people like President Trump. I'd never heard of the Kuhnhove-Kalergi plan until about 2014. Never heard of it. Mm-hmm. And the updated version of my book came out in 2012 initially. Fortunately, the two articles I wrote, part one and part two of Jewish Genocide of the White Race Case Closed, are now included as appendices, along with a couple of other articles that are included as appendices in the updated version of the book, because it's gone from different publisher to different publisher. I mean, the Barnes Review did a couple of prints of it, and then I had my online publisher, then I did it through Amazon, and then that got taken down for a second time, and now doing out of the States with a guy that I know very well, who's a great publisher, and he's got the website thesynagogueofsatan.com, and that's the definitive edition, if you like. But it was somewhat embarrassing for me that this Kuhnhove-Kalergi plan I'd never even heard of, despite having two goes at writing the book. Mm-hmm. So I was delighted that one of the good things about it getting banned was I was able to include this additional material in it, which I think will, you know, prove to people that this genocide is indeed planned, it is indeed going on. You just look at what you can and can't say now, and it's just ridiculous. Oh, if you oppose immigration, you're a fascist. Well, how does that work? I mean, a Japanese fascist? I mean, if you go to Japan, and I believe you're quite welcomed as a white person over there, but I think they call you a Gaijin or something. It's not a particularly offensive
Gaijin,
term. Gaijin,
is it? Yeah, it just means foreigner, outsider. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, it's not an offensive term, but they are nationalistic, and you know, China don't bring all these immigrants into their countries. Now, you don't have these media conglomerates attacking China for not being diverse enough because they don't let white people in their country, or attacking Nigeria or any countries that have a population that's not white. They don't require any sort of diversity. Only white nations do. And when you look at it, you say to yourself, well, why is this? And when you look at the results of it, and, you know, when these people commit crimes, and how, you know, you can tell that a criminal is not white if their picture's not put up, or if a description's not released. You know, why is that? As soon as they're looking for a white person, it's all over the place. Or if they've got a white person, their picture's all over the place. But if they're not white, they just don't want to, if they have to report the story, they won't tell you about the offender.
Yeah.
You know, it's just one thing after another, after another, after another. And it can only be interpreted when you put all the evidence together that there's a concentrated attack on white people. There's a concentrated plan in getting rid of white people for whatever reasons best known to the perpetrators themselves. And that's what we point out. And there's a reason for pointing that out. We're deplatformed, we're demonetized, we have our books taken down, we have all these different things done to us. And again, that just further adds to the evidence that we have that there is a concerted plan to get rid of us.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm glad you brought up this Kalergi plan. The first time I heard of it was probably about 2014. It was probably about the same time as you. And I heard of it. So maybe people weren't talking about it much, but I heard about it from Benjamin Fulford, who I had on the show a couple of weeks ago. And you know, Benjamin's told me over the years a lot of things. Many things never panned out. He is the person I was referring to who thinks that Merkel might be Hitler's daughter. But the thing is, he's also been on many occasions the first person who has brought to my attention things that actually I wound up realizing were very significant. So he brought this to my attention. And I remember the first time we talked on this show, you brought it up and I kind of downplayed it. And then later looked into it more, because I mean, people can talk about a plan, and somebody can say 50 years ago or 100 years ago have called for something, and that something might have come to pass, but it doesn't necessarily mean that this person's plan made it come to pass. You know what I mean? I mean, I once was in a bar or whatnot, and an earthquake happened, and some guy called on the earthquake to stop, and it stopped, and he wanted everybody to thank him for stopping the earthquake. So sometimes it can be like that. But upon further research, I realized that this Count Kalergi, half Japanese, half Austrian, was a very significant person. He started a big organization that was extremely well-funded. And so, you know, he may be as or even more important in his day and for his cause as, say, somebody like Abraham Foxman, the former head of the ADL, has been in America, which is extremely influential. I think that the Jewish elite didn't necessarily need a half Japanese, half Austrian nobleman to tell them that their enemy is their racial enemy is Europeans, but Kalergi certainly did play an important role in promoting immigration, right? And so, you know, sometimes here's a question for you: why is it that Kalergi didn't become topical enough for you and I, both of us have been studying Jewish power for many, many, many years. Why didn't we become aware of him until, say, 2014?
Well, I agree. I mean, it's the website that I got the information off was a rather obscure website to me called balder.org, and that's balder.org, and they've got some fantastic information there if it's still up. But I mean, what I did in this article, Jewish Genocide of the White Race, I started off with Article 2 of the United Nations General Assembly, United Nations Convention on the Prevention and Punishment of the Crime of Genocide, and it says any of the following acts committed with intent to destroy in whole or in part a national, ethnical, racial or religious group as such, killing members of the group, causing serious bodily or mental harm to members of the group, deliberately inflicting on the group conditions of life calculated to bring about its physical destruction in whole or in part. Well, okay, so deliberately inflicting on the group conditions of life calculated to bring about its physical destruction in whole or in part. Mm-hmm. This is what Kuhnhof Kalergi said in his book Practical Idealism. The man of the future will be a mongrel. Today's races and classes will disappear owing to the disappearing of space-time and prejudice. The Eurasian, i.e. European, negroid race of the future, similar in its outward appearance to that of the ancient Egyptians, will replace the diversity of peoples with a diversity of individuals. He then talks about Jews. groups. He said the main representatives of the corrupt, as well as the upright brain aristocracy of capitalism, journalism and the literate, are Jews. The superiority of their spirit predestines them to become a main factor of the future nobility. So what he said is completely contravenes that UN convention there on genocide. He's basically saying he's going to destroy the white race. Then you have the likes of Barbara Lerner-Specter that we mentioned earlier saying similar things, that Jews will be behind the immigration. And so then you see the long range plan. And I say again, what is the reason? Why do they want to get rid of white people? We seem to be the only people that they're targeting. If there was, and then you have little means, you know, like when Tibet is full of Chinese, it's genocide. When white nations are full of non-whites, it's diversity, you know. The way that we've got our message across historically is pointing out inconsistencies in the media narrative, and that is why they're cracking down on us now, because they know that we're right. They know that their job has been to basically do what Bill Clinton in America facilitated for them when he basically deregulated the media and all that. And, you know, they thought, oh, we can bowl these different media organisations up and then on our way. But unfortunately, one thing that they didn't plan for was the internet. And that is what they've been attacking predominantly, you know, is the internet.
And perhaps are now bringing that under control. But we got to go to our last break. But let's talk about that when we come back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last two decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendovite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The seven herbs in Extendovite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendovite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendovite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future. Welcome back to the show, which is on the Republic Broadcasting Network, which is largely an interbased internet-based network, and so far it's been holding up with free speech, but we're seeing an awful lot of attacks on free speech and attacks on us on the internet. So here's a question. The internet was our big break. It was a big tool for us to get around an otherwise, let's face it, Jewish-dominated media, print media, broadcast media. How long are we going to be able to keep the internet as a tool for disseminating our information and ideas?
Well, it's an interesting one, and I actually seek solace in the fact that I have a... I'm a Christian, I read the Bible, and I believe that what we're seeing at the moment is what is foretold in many prophetic books, specifically the book of Revelation in the Bible, and it talks about how his elect, they're going to be overwhelmed by various nations, peoples and tongues, so that's immigration there, and they're going to be targeted, and in the end it all comes good for us. And so I think that we will be silenced. I think that there will be casualties, you know, physically, the likes of myself could be one of them, but other people say that there's been casualties physically. If you look at the likes of World War One and World War Two, which was basically pitting again white people against white people, and could also then give some justification to those who believe that Hitler was basically installed, because the benefits of World War Two was a destruction of the not just German people, but various white people throughout Europe were being destroyed. So it was putting white people against white people, which again sounds familiar. Mm-hmm. When you look at the results of that, you had in the UK, we were told after the Second World War, oh, we've got to import loads of people from Africa and India and all that, because white people don't want to do the jobs that we need doing and all that. So they always use
like making some justification. Babies. Like making babies.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey,
yeah.
How much?
And so they always.
Well, I was just going to ask, how much of a coincidence is it that, you know, if you're an American, the foreign country with the largest white population is Russia? Why is the largest white country the big enemy? Maybe we've been answering the whole show.
Well, this is the whole thing. I mean, because you see, the whole point is, and this is what they've done. They've denationalized all of us. Okay, and what I mean by that is they've made it that if you're born in a country, then that's who you are. And so you can be of Japanese extraction, born in the UK, you're British, or black, you're British, or what have you. And that's simply not the case. If a dog's born in a stable, that doesn't make it a horse. And you are talking about completely different genetic strands here. For those liberals out there, you try getting a heart transplant from a different race to yourself. Doesn't always work. You know, we've had stem cell research, we've had all sorts of things done, and the problems that some of these people that have been racially mixed have experienced is if they do have medical problems that require some sort of intervention, then they can't find donors, because they need to find people with a similar genetic makeup to themselves, and they're simply not always out there. So when you look at it in that way, you have to say to yourself that it proves that race is indeed a factual thing and not a social construct. But they've told us it's a social construct. And so to them, they believe that when they point out Russia being evil, they're not pointing out fellow white people, they're pointing out Russians. It doesn't matter what colour they are, because as the British know, you can be of any particular racial background and be British so long as you're born here, which would mean that anyone born in Russia would be Russian, and if we say that they're the enemy, then they're the enemy, and that's that.
Well, okay, well, that's all the time we have on my show, but I want to thank you so much, Andy, for coming on, and I look forward to having you on again soon. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Mm-hmm. homeowners. Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to Republic.